The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Our tech team ensure your broadband runs at its optimum speed. It's all part of the service.
22 minutes to 10 o'clock this Wednesday morning. Good morning, Tom Hoban. Nice to talk to you.
Good morning, Ryan. Welcome back.
Thank you. Very good. And yourself, did you survive?
I survived. I'm about 2 stone heavier than I was in November, though.
Well, thankfully, the genes don't allow for that in my house. By genes, I mean metabolism and family history, but we're okay. I know what you mean.
My girlfriend actually bought me a pair of jeans that were a size larger than the usual, so she knew what was up.
Well, as Labrie Siffrey would say, it must be love. Tell me this. You've been surrounded by books most of your, I presume, childhood, but also adult life as part of your career.
Very much so, yes.
Tell me about that.
Yeah, so I've been a bookseller most of my professional life. It went from barman to bookseller.
And good man.
Drinking books are
two of my favourite things. Yeah. Go on.
Yeah, so after working for a number of Irish booksellers, I worked for Eason's, I don't know if anyone remembers when Borders were in Ireland. And then I've been working for Waterstones for the last 10 years as their commercial manager in Ireland for the last 5 of those years. And I was based in Hodges Figgis, which I know you know very well.
I do.
Yeah, I've met you in there a few times.
Indeed, yeah.
Yeah, and then I suppose at the start of the first lockdown back in March, I think an awful lot of people use the lockdown to kind of leap on opportunities that they might have been putting on the long finger. So we simply, myself and Aisling, my girlfriend, we put out we said we were going to do reading lists for people who wanted them. Anybody who, you know, we heard an awful lot of people saying that they don't read enough, or that now that they had an awful lot of free time that they didn't know what to do with, they wanted to get into reading. So we said, okay, perfect. What we'll do is, if you just tell us a little bit about your interests, what books you like, what Netflix shows you like, what movies you're into, what your hobbies are, we'll get back to you with a kind of detailed reading list, but, you know, tailored to your taste.
Yeah.
And then we started sending out the books to people. And the response we got for it was absolutely fantastic. Like, just, you know, when the first lockdown came, I think you said something about it earlier in the show, there was kind of a novelty to it. So for me and Aisling, we're big, big book nerds. So staying at home was no problem to us.
Yes.
You know, you make a book pile, and that's kind of your weekend, whiling away there, just happily reading.
Yes.
But an awful lot of people found themselves with free time that they didn't know what to be doing with. You know, and there's only so much Netflix you can binge on, or so much time you can spend scrolling your phone. So we thought, why not get people reading? So that's basically what we set out to do, and we've turned it into a business now.
It's a great idea, and people need leadership in life, in politics, at work, and in their reading habits. They just need to be told this is the direction you need to go in. And I love what you're doing as a job, particularly given that you're both into it. How did you find, incidentally, over, because I definitely found this since this whole craziness began, that your choice of book to read when you're going to bed or on the couch in a given afternoon is dictated by absolutely your mind, that there's a book that you couldn't read one day that 3 weeks later you go and see it and you go, now I'm ready for you.
Literary mood swings, we call them.
Literary mood swings. I never heard that.
Even since the pandemic started, you're picking up stuff that you wouldn't have even batted an eyelid at before the pandemic.
Yeah.
Like what was I reading about? So I was reading just Brexit. I bored absolutely everybody to tears, but I found myself sitting down to read the first 3 hours of a big tome about Brexit that somebody bought me a couple of months ago. Like, yeah, absolutely.
It's strange. And even beside my bed, and they're getting bigger. There's these piles. Because it was 1 week before Christmas, and I think I'd started 4 books. Gave them each 50 pages, and each one I went, no.
Yeah.
And then eventually, I think I went back to Iceland. I was just on such an Iceland kick. So I said, oh yeah, that's where I need to be, in the snow. It's strange the brain does that to you.
What are you reading from Iceland?
Well, I've finished the last of the Ragnar Jonasson's Dark Iceland
Brilliant.
Series, which I just, it's called Winterkill is the last one. That's the sextet, as it turns out. That's the end of that. And then I was kind of, I read A Famished Heart by Nicola White, which is an Irish crime set in the 80s. And then I read The Postscript Murders by Ellie Griffiths, which is really strangely just like the Thursday Murder Club, but not as good, being honest with you. And then yesterday I started another, I went back to Iceland for, her name is, I think it's Eva Sigursdóttir or something like that.
Sigursdóttir,
yeah. And that's really good. Immediately I started reading that, think, I'm in. You know, when you get 10 pages in, you think, oh God, I can't wait for this.
There's a fabulous novel by Hannah Kent, which was published a few years ago, called Burial Rites.
It's beside the bed. That's
the gas. Oh,
yeah,
what a book.
Okay, I haven't read it, though.
Oh, it's absolutely fantastic.
And this is a witch hunty type thing back, is it?
Just eerie and creepy and weird. It's brilliant.
And what do you think of the Nordic stuff, broadly speaking? I mean, are you into it? Are your readers into it?
Not as much as I probably should, but I mean, it's the same as kind of any genre. There is gold there.
Yeah.
And then an awful lot of kind of pretenders and stuff. But
so
like,
what do you recommend, Tom, to the person who's listening, who says, look, you're always talking about books. Well done, it's great, but I don't have the patience for it. I wouldn't know where to begin.
What
do you do with those?
That's what Litvox is kind of about. So we're very much kind of geared towards getting people who wouldn't normally pick up a book into reading. We figure now is exactly the time for it.
Okay. So where do you go with that?
Very simply, like if you log on to Litvox, there's what we do is it's a very simple questionnaire which you fill out and you give as much or as little information as you want. And we have tailored it towards people who don't usually read. So we say, if you don't read, that's absolutely fine. Just tell us, what are your favourite movies? What are your hobbies?
Yes.
What do you like to do? What kind of Netflix shows have you been binging on lately? And what our team does of booksellers, we just go and we kind of do a bit of research based on the taste you've told us, and then we'll give you something that we think will kind of ease you into it, because, you know, somebody who decides that they want to start reading a little bit more doesn't need War and Peace kind of slapped on their head.
Yeah, don't scare them off.
Yeah, and there's a tendency as well, I think you know as well, for certain classics and famous books, if people don't like them, to go, oh, well, that's brilliant, sir. You have no taste, kind of thing.
Yes, yeah. You find that with film critics a lot, where they're
very much
they're rubbing their chin and going, oh, and you're reading your five stars,
exactly.
And you watch it, and you get, I wouldn't even give this one star. How's this recommended? But it's like they're almost outdoing each other sometimes to be impressed by the film with no dialogue and a picture of a cloud for 2 hours or whatever it might be.
Exactly. Yeah. So we're very open at Litvox. So the whole thing is, if you like reading kind of 17th century French philosophy, that's fine. We'll find you something. If you like reading just pure fluff and you just want something like brain candy, then we'll find you that as well. That's, once you're reading, that's pretty much.
And are there,
if you pick up a book?
Yeah, are there books that you've been recommending recently that get very favorably reviewed by people who don't normally read? You know what I'm saying? Are there kind of some that you kind of go, you know, look, just go with this one. It's a popular title.
Yeah, we're getting an awful lot of people who, you know, there are some books that kind of just rise to the top of the bestsellers charts regardless. So I think you know yourself, When the Crawdads Sing by Delia Owens was kind of last year's big hit.
Yeah, it was a lovely. I didn't think it was the book of the year by any means, but people absolutely adored that book. I liked it a lot, but I thought it was lovely.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. But we're finding like tons and tons of people who said that was the first book they'd picked up in 2 or 3 years.
Right.
And they're kind of coming looking for, you know, similar stories, but kind of a thrillery element that actually have kind of an uplifting message. The other one is, I mean, you know, Gone Girl and Girl on the Train. Like, at the moment, most people seem to be looking for kind of crime thrillers. And,
That's where I'm going a lot. Yeah, Lucy Foley's Hunting Party and things like that. And
I loved that book.
Yeah.
It was absolutely fantastic.
I love that too. And there is easy. That's what I like about those books. They're easy, and you're not sitting there with your head wrecked. I think that when you put a book down, there's the great tests for a good book are, do you want to go to bed early and do you want to wake up early before work? I mean, that's the bad test. The other test fails when you look at the book and go, oh. If you do that before you pick up a book, you might as well.
But that's
give
the great thing about Lucy Foley's book, The Hunting Party. Like, I mean, that, you know, on the face of it, that's a pretty done kind of method. It's a locked room mystery.
Yeah.
But she's managed to bring something fresh and shocking, and there's twists in it to a really old kind of convention. It's a fabulous novel. Anybody that's interested in a good thriller should get a hold of that if they haven't read it already.
Tom, explain this to me. Why have I, beside my bed, why is Hamnet looking at me? Why have I tried it three times and why have I not got into it?
Maggie O'Farrell's new novel?
Yeah, why? What's wrong with me?
You're mad.
Obviously. I am mad. I've actually lost the plot. I've got COVID. I don't know what it is.
Fantastic novel. It's brilliant.
Yeah, okay, I just need to stay at it. I think that's my problem. I'm just pecking at it.
To be honest, anybody who's read Maggie O'Farrell before, it's not the kind of thing she usually writes at all. I suppose it is a bit, it's dense looking. It's one of those kind of 500-page tomes, but I mean, I finished it. I wished it was longer by the time I'd finished.
Okay, you've convinced me. I'll go at it again after this.
Just persevere past the first 70 pages or so and you'll...
There's another one that I've heard a lot about and I've looked at and I said, nah. And even though it's getting great feedback, is Dolly Alderton's book, Ghosts. Have you read that?
I haven't. Another member of our team has read Ghosts.
And what's the vibe?
So, the vibe is it's kind of like a Bridget Jones for the more modern era. So it sounds weird saying Bridget Jones for the modern era, but you know what I mean? It's basically kind of a story of a girl 30s gone wrong. You know, you're expecting your kind of 20s to be this rock and roll kind of amazing period, and your 30s come along and you go, oh, I suppose it really wasn't. And there's, you know, parental problems and anxiety and everything else. But it's a lovely kind of uplifting novel. All the kind of anxieties of people's 30s that, you know, everybody has to deal with at some point or another.
Of course,
are in there, but the message of the book is really, really uplifting overall.
You were suggesting a book called The Power of the Dog.
Oh God, yeah.
And I think who was I talking to? I was talking to a writer on this program who said you've got to read Don. It could have been. It's escaped me, but it was a very famous writer. What age am I? And he was he was saying that you'd love this, that he's reading this. But I'll come back to it. I'll try and remember it. I'm just probably a bit rusty around the edges. Been a few weeks off. But The Power of the Dog by Don Winslow is one that I need to get. Is it?
So it's 100%. It's for anybody who is a fan of Narcos on Netflix or Sicario, the movie Sicario. It's basically. It starts off in the kind of early 80s, and it's about a DEA agent named Art Keller who kind of gets his information, and he's best friends with this Mexican smuggler named Angel Barrera. But as Barrera becomes kind of a better smuggler, he starts smuggling narcotics and everything else over the border, and the two friends kind of become archenemies, and it starts off a kind of police chase that lasts for the better part of two decades, and there's kind of a mad Irish third character in it who comes in and throws a spanner into the works for both characters, and there's kind of femme fatales and car chases and violence. It's just...
Sounds great.
Phenomenal novel. And again, anybody looking for kind of a good thriller to get into over lockdown, this is perfect because it's about 600 pages and you'll rear through about 100 pages an hour. It's amazing.
Wow, okay, that's bang for your buck, isn't it? The Power of the Dog. We'll put this up on Facebook.
Yeah, and it's the first in a trilogy as well, so if you really like it, you can find it, yeah.
Ryan, you're killing me, says a text. Hamnet is the best favourite book of 2020. Not as good as
there
A Prayer
we go.
For
Somebody
Omar.
Speaking sense. Yeah.
You got that right, Tom. Hamnet, says a text. Yes, it took me 80 pages to get into it. Very meh about it at the beginning, but it gets better, but I'm not loving it. I'm halfway through it now. So that's working now for your supper. I can't make out the name of the business Tom is talking about. Can you please clarify? Of course, Deirdre. Tom, you better give us the... Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, so we're called Litvox, so that's LITVOX, so it's litvox.com, and we're an online bookshop. We sell literary prints and cards and the likes, but our main goal is to just get people reading more. So there's a free book recommendation service on there.
Great. So they're like a book doctor for kids, but for adults, which is great.
It's essentially, that's exactly what it is.
Love
it. Book doctor. Now, there's also, if you have a birthday or something coming up, we do a gift recommendation service, so if you don't know what to buy the reader in your life, and there's also a kids recommendation service for if you're, you know, it's going to be a month now before the kids get back to school, so if you need something to keep them occupied, we're more than happy to help.
Aileen says, I'm a voracious reader, but I find some of the Nordic stuff is only as good as the translation. Some of the languages are archaic. Would be interested in comments. Yeah, I kind of like a bit of the archaic, but you described it that the locked room, that's the Agatha Christie sort of thing, which I love. So they tend to lend themselves to an old-fashioned kind of language anyway. I haven't heard Educated by Tara Westover be mentioned as a text. It is a true story, but a total page turn. That is a very popular book, I know, out there.
It's a very, very good book. It's a brilliant. Anybody who enjoyed Tara Westover's Educated should really try. I don't know if anybody's familiar with Jeanette Winterson. She's a novelist, but her biography is called Why Be Happy When You Could Be Normal. And it's got very much the same kind of themes, kind of a gifted child who doesn't really fit in with the family. But it's very short. It's only about 200 pages. It's a wonderful biography.
Okay, good on you. And Aoife Mullingar, have you read a book called A Man Called Ove or Ove by Frederick Backman? Brilliant book. Everyone should read. I didn't read that, but I know it was on my list.
It's really good. It's really good. It's just about a horribly, horribly grumpy old man. He's kind of like a Swedish, like Victor Mildrew type of character.
Okay.
And the first three chapters kind of drag you through what a miserable life he leads. But anyway, a kind of noisy young family move in next door to him. And the whole novel is basically about how he, you know, starts to learn how to live and love again. It's a really, really, really sweet little book.
Good. Girl by Abigail Dean is worth reading this year, says Stephen in Leash. Which I haven't heard, but thank you for that. And there was one girl. What is it? Girl, woman.
Oh, girl, woman, other. That's
other.
Bernardine Evaristo.
Is that a good read?
It's fantastic. It's absolutely so. That's she won the Booker Prize last year for that novel.
Okay.
So what that does, it's essentially kind of like Colin McCann does. So it's rather than a novel, it's essentially 12 short stories which combine to form a novel, and it kind of goes through all of British history. From the point of view of 12 different characters, and most of them are kind of minority figures, so like black women or queer figures. But it's just, it's kind of a panorama of British history told from the point of view of people that wouldn't necessarily, you know,
have got a look in. Book. Yeah,
exactly. But it, I mean, the history is brilliant, but it's the writing that keeps you going. It's a wonderful book.
Did you read Three Women last year, Lisa Toledo?
No, I didn't.
That is a cracker. Now it's full on. There's a lot of sex in it, as you can appreciate, but also challenging debate in it, because it's not fiction. It's non-fiction. But it, as a man, I thought it was a really insightful read. worth a look. There's a lot of serious debate in it, actually, as well as just stories well told. So that's good. A lot of talk about that.
The critics loved it. That's in the To Be Read pile, but should the To Be Read pile.
Sure, look. To Be Read pile. Tom, congratulations to you and Aisling on your new company. It's called litvox.com. Is it .com?
Yeah, it's litvox.com. And as we say, the recommendation service is completely free. So anybody that wants to log on and is looking for something to get them through the lockdown, we're more than happy to help.
Okay, it's a great idea. Okay, keep going, Tom. We might talk again, but thanks for your time in the meantime. Happy New Year
great
to you
Ryan,
and Aisling.
You too.
Good luck with it all. Litvox.com is the company that you need to go to, and that'll help you, guide you in the right direction and get you reading, which is great.